This is a May Luna Media production. You're listening to Love, Light, and Black Holes. I'm your host, Morgan Garza, here to remind you of your disco ball soul so you can dance with your darkness. If you're sick of love and light spirituality like I was, you're in the right place. We keep it real, go deep, and give voice to your shadow so your light shines even brighter. Enter the void. Welcome back, Shame Slayers and Shadow Sparklers. Today we are giving different meaning to that phrase, if you know, you know. I used this phrase all the time in terms of when I met my husband. I was like, I just knew, and that was it, and I knew I was going to marry him, and it was a done deal. But this, if you know, you know, I'm talking about your intuition. We all have intuition. We are all born with it. To varying degrees in terms of how much we want to listen to it is how we hear it. But intuition is something that we all have, whether you think you do or you don't. It's just something that maybe hasn't been developed enough yet, or what we're going to get into today, maybe you're listening to way too many people other than yourself, because there is a voice inside of you that knows. You've always known. This inner knowing has always been with you, especially when you were a child. But as you grow up and get older, the world starts to seep in. You start having different experiences that make you question your intuition or think that it's just silly or it's just another voice in your head. But this kind of voice in your head is not the one that sounds like your therapist or that podcast host you love. Hello. Or your business coach, or your astrologer, or your best friend, or even your anxiety. This is the one that whispers when everyone else is shouting, the one that maybe you've been ignoring, or maybe because you can't hear it, it is not speaking as loudly as it is capable of doing. And maybe you've been taught to not trust it because you've had certain experiences where you thought it was intuition, but really it was an anxiety, and you trusted that, and you went with it, and you acted on it, and then something happened that wasn't in your best interest or favor. And to tell the difference between intuition and anxiety, intuition is going to land like a soft feather falling out of the sky. It's soft, it's gentle. It is just that. It is just a landing. Your body isn't going to have a flare. You're not going to have a heart racing. Your upper lip isn't going to start sweating. Your hands aren't going to get clammy. You're not going to have an elevated heart rate or racing mind. No physiological experience whatsoever. With anxiety, however, you're going to get that heart racing. You're going to get the mind racing. You might get sweaty. You might get clammy. You might have a stomach turning situation. You might feel really nauseous or get a headache, but anxiety is a flare. It is something that is coming from your ego, and the intuition does not have anything to do with ego. This is straight from the soul through the heart into your brain, which hopefully interprets it as what it is. But if you are solely relying on listening to anxiety and not knowing how to tell the difference, which can be really hard, I get it, but not knowing how to tell the difference between anxiety and intuition is a massive, massive misstep. It's a hole in your experience as a human, because anxiety can mask as intuition, but intuition will never mask as anxiety, but they can easily become twisted and discombobulated in the path of life that we are on. So take a moment. I want you to think about the last time you knew something. Not a thought, not a belief, not a hope, a knowing. Maybe it was about a relationship that looked perfect but felt wrong in your body, or the same thing about a job, or you were like, hey, you know what, I'm gonna not go to that thing tonight because I'm tired and exhausted, and ends up something bad happening at that thing. You know, what was the last time you knew that your intuition kept you out of something, or told you something, or informed you of something, or allowed you to actually feel something? Maybe it was just, I need to leave this dinner party. I need to not answer the call. I need to walk a different way home. And then what did you do? Did you second guess it? Did you ask 5 people what they thought? Did you pull a tarot card? Did you make pros and cons list? Did you try to rationalize what your body already knew? How did you manage that knowing, that hit, that intuitive hit? Knowing this and thinking back and looking through how that feels is exactly how you are going to start deciphering what your intuition wants to tell you. Because somewhere along the line, we were taught that knowing wasn't enough and anxiety takes over, and that is a much stronger emotion, and it is harder, much harder, to quiet so that the intuition of the body, of the soul, can speak louder. And these gut feelings that we have, we sometimes logic them away. We learn to second guess. We ask, does this make sense? Does this feel true? We want to go ask everyone else their opinion before we tune in and ask what is real for ourselves. And this externalization of power is taking so much away from what you do already know, from what is true for you. And I've done this so much, especially over the past couple years when I felt like I was so bogged down with so much trauma happening, caretaking for everybody but myself, and really getting away from my power and my center and my groundedness. And I would ask in certain large situations, especially when my husband went to rehab, and I was like, you know what, I'm either going to divorce and walk out of here, or I got to stay and see it out. But I asked everyone what they thought I should do, rather than really tuning into what I wanted to do. My first instinct was to burn it all down, get the fuck out, and start fresh. And obviously that's not what I ended up doing. And I am so, so grateful I didn't do that, because that was my anger speaking. That was my rage. That was my fury wanting to go scorched earth, rather than listening to what really felt right. And when I got my ego out of the way, which my ego was saying, I don't deserve this. I deserve so much better. This should have never happened. I gave him my whole heart. How could this happen? But that was so much anger, and I needed to feel that. I needed to feel that rage. I needed to allow myself to go there, and that was fine. But what I was taking away from myself in that same time period, because I was so just red with fury, I couldn't see through the windshield. And my dad, of course, being my little Yoda Obi-Wan that he is, continuously, always, for my whole life, translating what my heart and soul knows that my brain just really wants to not listen to, was wait it out and see what happens. And you can't make any decisions right now. And he gave me the windshield analogy that, like, there's so much rain falling on your windshield that you can't see out of it, and your windshield wipers aren't working. So stop trying to get there. Stop trying to find a direction. You are lost right now, and it's okay to be lost. But I was continuously looking for answers outside of myself rather than giving it time and allowing myself to be angry and going through the emotions that are natural to feel in a situation like this. And eventually I got to the conclusion of, yes, of course, I chose this man. I love this man. This is a hiccup. It's a misstep. We all fuck up. He took absolute radical responsibility, and it ended up working out so well, and we are better than we've ever been. But this isn't about me and my relationship. This is about the power that we give away, the ways in which we can look outside of ourselves and seek answers from everyone else, from tarot cards, from astrology, from psychics, from mediums, from intuitive healers, from our parents, from our friends, from our colleagues, from that random person on the street that's like, what would you do in this situation? We externalize, we outsource the power that we have in abundance within, because we haven't learned how to tune in. We haven't learned how to listen. We haven't learned how to sharpen and experience the true depth of intuition when it comes through. And this is something that, as a spiritual person, as a human in general, we all have the capacity to do. But this doubt, this questioning of the self, is in a way monetized in our world. Every framework, every certification, every trust your intuition, but take my course first on how to trust your intuition. These things aren't wrong. Of course, I make courses. I teach people how to do things all day long. I have for the past, 8 years. But the intuition is something that has to come from within. The information cannot come from outside of you. And then we watch what other people are doing. We watch how other people react in situations. We watch who they ask, what they turn to. And then this turns into noise, surrounded by other people's intuition, masquerading as universal truth, externalizing all of this power that we inherently have within, allowing ourselves to look outside rather than within, and we learn to override it. Because this is what we see. Monkey see, monkey do. And then we wake up and think, why don't I trust myself anymore? I made that terrible decision, which in the moment I knew was wrong for me, but I didn't listen to that. I said, fuck around and find out. Let's go for it. But intuition doesn't shout. It doesn't argue. It doesn't defend itself. It's not going to lock you in a room and say, you are absolutely not leaving because this terrible thing is going to happen, or this is a really bad idea, or you just said you don't want to do this. Why are you saying yes to this and actually going forward? Your intuition just says, I don't think we should do that. That doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound aligned. That doesn't sound authentic. That doesn't sound in integrity with who we are and what we want. And that's kind of it. And then the brain overrides, anxiety overrides, desires override, free will overrides, and all of these things get in the way. And eventually, your intuition is going to say, well, what the fuck am I here for? No one's listening to me anyway, so I'm just going to take a back seat and let this shit play out because I'm not needed. I'm not needed. I'm not wanted. I'm not respected. And if you are constantly listening outward and you are constantly choosing whatever it is that you want over your intuition, even if your intuition is inconvenient, which sometimes it is, it can be, your intuition is like, okay, yeah, I'll be here when you're ready, but it will also step back and stop speaking loudly or trying to cut through the noise. Because here's what I've noticed in myself and in people that I work with. Most people think they've lost their intuition. What they've actually lost is the permission to trust it. They've lost their connection to it, not intuition as a whole. There's no losing your intuition. It's inherent. But we lose the permission to choose what doesn't make sense, to move before the evidence arrives, to rest when everyone else is pushing, to say no without explaining ourselves. And this isn't about rejecting wisdom. This is about accepting and knowing that it is always there and inviting it out and saying, okay, I'm sorry that I have been ignoring you and abandoning you and not acting on all of the things that you've told me. And this isn't like a forecasting, this is going to happen on this day. It's more just in the moment. And of course, maybe your intuition does work like that. You get these prophetic dreams, or you have visions, or you have a lot of deja vu and you are really traversing between timelines. But for most of us, it's a small intuitive hit that gets overrun by anxiety and free will and wanting to do something and feeling that it's inconvenient, and then it slowly dissipates and diminishes and dulls until we don't feel like we have a connection to it at all. But intuition doesn't always feel like certainty, which is a tricky thing to decipher. It feels like resonance. It feels like, I don't know why, but this. I have no idea how I know this, but this is what it is. I shouldn't have this in my brain. I don't know where this came from, but it's this. Or you're about to walk out the door and your intuition says, don't forget your water. And like, yeah, sure, this is your brain. But then you're gone out of the house for 8 hours. You're so thirsty. Your throat's dry. All of these like little things, you know. Your intuition is constantly trying to tell you what you need. Your body is trying to tell you what you need. And this is where your intuition resides. Your intuition isn't in your brain. I think this is a big misconception. The ego lives in the brain. That is the brain. The brain is the ego's domain. The intuition speaks through the heart, through the body, because the intuition is connected to the soul. And in this communication system, the brain thinks that it is in charge of everything because ideally it comes out of the womb first. It is the first to enter the world. It feels like it is the most powerful piece of the body. And I'm not discounting the brain. Neuroscience and the brain and neuroplasticity and all of that is fascinating and powerful and something that we will probably never fully understand in our lifetimes. However, the other thing that we really super, super, super don't understand is our intuition and our intuition's connection to the body and how the body is truly this antenna of feeling, of sensing, of gauging and scanning an environment in ways the brain will never be able to. They just have different capacities. They have different strengths. And with this strength of the body, of the intuition, of the soul speaking through the heart, this is where you truly gauge your internal and external environment in a different dimension than the brain can access. The brain is pattern recognition. It is scanning for threat. It is looking for the closest exits should something happen. It is looking for things that are familiar and comfortable and recognizable. Intuition is neutral. It is scanning in a different way. It is really reading the room, reading other people's energy, picking up on these energetic nuances that the brain just simply doesn't have access to. And when we confuse intuition for coming from the brain, we are really confusing anxiety and the ego with the soul and intuition. And once you start realizing the difference between these two, you'll start to notice in your body and in your mind how they're on totally different planes, totally different wavelengths, giving you absolutely, completely opposite information. And the ego wants to override the intuition because quite often it doesn't go along with, quote unquote, the plan. This is what we plan to do. This is what we want to do. This is what we would desire to do. This is how we'll get the most visibility. This is how we'll be the most loved. This person is showing us love. We have to do it, even though your body is screaming, no, this is dangerous. And this is one of the best examples. And I heard this years and years ago, and it made so much sense. When you meet someone new, a love interest, a romantic interest, and you get butterflies, that is trauma response. Your body is like, no, we are scanning this. We are noticing patterns. We are recognizing similarities. We do not feel safe. Abort. But the brain is like, ooh, I'm having this visceral response. My heart is racing. My tummy is twirling. And this feels good. This feels exciting. And the thing is that it's not good or exciting. It just is a feeling, where the intuition is no feeling, not feeling. And when I heard this and I looked back on my previous relationships, I was like, holy shit, this made so much sense. Because for every one of the relationships that I was in that I had that flair, that I had that quote unquote excitement, which was really a trauma response, the body recognizing before I ever could what was going to play out, the unsafety of the situation, or just being straight up hurt, my body reacted first thing, right when I first met them. And then when I met my now husband, and even though I talked about him going to rehab and that being a whole clusterfuck of a relationship meltdown, that's not who he is. Obviously, who he is this person who's 2 years sober and wonderful and amazing and caring and kind and loving and just all of the best things. But when I first met him, I was like, I don't feel anything. I felt nothing. I felt absolutely nothing. I even wasn't like that super interested in him right at first. And I've told him all of this and he knows. So I have, you know, this is fine. But it was quiet. It was resonance. And then as time went on and I spent more time with him, I was like, holy shit, I am in love with this man. And then that scared the shit out of me. But I wasn't listening to the brain. When I met him, I had a one-way ticket to Bali. I was out of there. I had full plan to leave, but my body just kept saying yes. And my brain was like, girl, did you forget? We are not doing this. We have a ticket. We're going on an adventure. We need to be single. That's what I kept telling myself. I need to be single. I need to be single for this trip, for this adventure, for this one-way ticket, open-ended. But my body felt something different. My body felt a connection, a resonance, this place where harmony met when he and I were together. And so that is the difference between intuition and anxiety. That butterfly flare is not good, and it sucks that in our culture we're told, oh, but you, when you get butterflies, that's how you know. Like, no, that's how you know to run. That's how you know to say, this is not going to be good for me. This is not going to be safe. This may be familiar, but that doesn't make it right. Just because the person feels like someone that you may have dated before, or a parent relationship that you're repeating, or a sibling or a friend, that familiarity does not equal safety or compatibility. The nothing of the resonance of nothing, just the stillness, the quietness, the knowing, that is your intuition. But when we seek outside perspective, when we meet someone and then we show all of our friends photos and we say, what do you think about this person? I just met them and we're talking about this and we're talking about that. And then we gather everyone else's opinion but ours, and we're not truly tuning in, then we have a different perspective because, well, you know, I asked so-and-so and they said, wow, they're hot and they seem funny and they said this. So we anchor those things in our mind. We anchor those things in our experience of the person, even if they're not our direct experience of them. And I'm harping a lot on relationships because I think it's the easiest way to explain this and to feel it, because, you know, you've had these experiences. Of course you have, you're a human in life. And I think it's the easiest way to discern. And intuition is about discernment. Anxiety is just a blanket of chaos and static and no clarity in sight, whereas intuition is like the laser point, cutting through everything else, discerning what is meant for us, what is not, what is right, what is wrong, what is aligned, what isn't. And reclaiming this, knowing that this lives within you and deciding to reclaim it, is the most love you could give yourself, the most powerful thing you can do to tell yourself, I am choosing me. I am going to work on deciphering between anxiety and intuition. It's noticing when your body tightens and not overriding it. It's honoring the quiet no before it turns into burnout. It's trusting the pause instead of forcing the leap. It's knowing that what is best for you is already within you. And I thought this was so cliche when I first heard it, that everything you already need is already inside of you. Everything you need, everything you're seeking, everything you want is already inside of you. And I was like, that's just some bullshit spiritual fluff jargon. But as my journey continued, and as I started externally seeking things and realizing that I already had that, it wasn't something I needed to go and learn. It was something I needed to activate within. And sure, there can be people in your life who teach you something and reflect yourself back to you and give you some sort of acknowledgement or information or some kind of education that you then realize, oh yes, okay, now I can access that part of me. It's not that it wasn't there. It's not that this person gave you something. I am a teacher. It's not that I tell people things they don't know. It's that I'm helping them remember what they already do, what is already true within their lives, within their bodies, within their intuition, so that they can access that part of them that is truly in knowing, in complete connection to what they want, to who they are, and to who they want to be. Because this is the most powerful thing that you can ever give yourself, this connection to your intuition, and disconnecting from the opinions and thoughts and guidance of everyone but you. Drop the tarot cards. We, as witches, if you are one, as spiritual people, can get really hung up on these tools. I have to consult the tarot. I have to consult my astrology. I have to use the pendulum or whatever it may be that you lean on. These become crutches that take you away from your knowing, from listening within. And it can be scary to drop all of these tools, all of these crutches, all of these external opinion people that you have, and really just trust. And I think especially as women, if you are a woman, women tend to consult more because we have these strong networks of other women. We're like, all right, well, I got to ask my bestie about this before I pull the trigger. And it's like, okay, yes, you can, but don't take what they say as law. You still need to choose for yourself. You still need to come into the place where you know. So if you feel lost, if you feel confused, if you feel disconnected from your knowing, it's not because something's wrong with you. It's not because your intuition is broken. It's not because you've lost your intuition. It literally cannot go anywhere. It's still here. It's waiting for you. It hasn't abandoned you. It doesn't judge you. It hasn't given up. It's just waiting. It's a little bit dull. It's out of use. It's not the sharpest tool in the shed, but it's still in the shed. It just needs a little attention and love and trust. So maybe the question isn't, how do I fix my intuition? Maybe the real question is, who am I still listening to that I no longer need permission from? And what would happen? What would happen if you trusted yourself again? Quiet and slowly, one step at a time, not trying to prove anything, but just truly taking a beat, listening within, and not becoming someone new, but remembering who you were before the world got so loud. Let me know how you talk to your intuition. Let me know where you're at in this journey. Let me know how this lands for you and what your biggest takeaways were. I love hearing from you. You can always reach out to me. You can always email me, land in my DMs, follow me on social media, do all of the things. I'm releasing something very exciting that I've been working on for a couple months now, here pretty soon, all about shadow work and how to find your deepest shadow. So that is coming soon. So stay tuned. Thank you so much for being here with me, for sharing your magic with me, and for inspiring me as much as I hopefully inspire you. I'll see you next week. Love, light, and black holes. Thanks for diving into the void with me. If today lit something up in you or cracked something open, follow the show and leave a review so we can magnetize more shame slayers and shadow sparklers into this world. Want more? Step through the portal at lovelightandblackholes.com. That's where the wild magic lives. Until next time, dance with your darkness like it's your favorite song, and watch the whole universe light up.